Hallelujah. Well, somebody say praise the Lord. I'm reminded that he inhabits the praises of his people. That's not something to be taken lightly. When you begin to praise him, he says that I will inhabit that praise. I will come and make my abode in that praise. And when he comes loaded. So it's good to praise him. Let everything that has breath praise him. And sometimes I just have to go, that's breath. I think I praise him. It's good to praise him. We had an awesome time here last night, I think. The way the enemy has been attacking today, I know that we had an awesome time here last night. He is upset, but he's defeated. He is defeated. Praise the Lord. I've had an awesome day today myself. What about y'all? And I've been doing some praising today, too. A lot of it. Because usually when you preach a good word, where people begin to get delivered and set free, and the eyes of people's understandings are being opened, that upsets him. And when you minister the word under the anointing, a profile is developed. And when that profile is developed and you take it personally and say, that's mine, I can have that. Faith comes. And when faith comes, it brings the substance of that thing that you're hoping for. And then the anointing is released to destroy burdens and remove yokes until the profile is manifest. That's why he told Joshua to meditate on it. Until you get the image, until you see yourself in that word, it becomes personal to you. Then faith comes and brings the substance for the thing you hope for. And then the anointing is released to remove the burden and destroy the yoke until the profile is manifest. I got that off of Brother Copeland. He ought to know. He ought to know. He's been doing it 32 years. He ought to know. Hallelujah. Well, let's just go before the throne. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you right now to just humble ourselves before you this evening. It's all about you. It's all about Jesus. It's nothing about us. We're just vessels. And I ask that you just flow through me this evening the way that you want to flow. I yield to you this evening, spirit, soul, and body. Not my will this evening, but your will be done. Let your word come forth this evening accurately. And I ask that you give the people ears to hear that word accurately. I ask that you would open up things in the word this evening for each and every person in here, because you know what the needs of the people are. And Lord, one will hear something, another one will hear something else, and another one will hear something else, but you always meet people right where they are. And I ask that you do that this evening in the name of Jesus. Satan, I remind you that you are a defeated foe. We give you no place here. And we give Jesus all the praise and all the glory for everything that takes place here this evening. And everybody agreed with that. Let it be known by saying amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Some of y'all on the back, come a little closer to me. Y'all come down, come a little, get a little closer here. We were in a meeting at Eagle Mountain last week, and Sister Terry said, it's good for you to come as close to the front as you possibly can. Now, the Holy Ghost is all over the sanctuary, but it's something about coming down front and getting close. And then she said, sometimes you never even know that the person that you sitting next to, God might have something in that person that he wants you to have. And just by sitting close to that individual, you can get some good stuff. Yes. You know how you can get bad stuff off of people? You can get good stuff off of people. Yes. You can catch good stuff off of people. Folks will say, I don't want to be around you because you got a cold and I don't want to catch it. But I want to be around you because you got something I want. So I want to be around you because I want to catch that. I want to get off on me. Praise the Lord. Y'all bring your Bibles. Last night we talked about the fruit of the mouth. We started out by saying, well, we were over in Proverbs, the 18th chapter last night, and our foundational scriptures were Proverbs 18, 20, and 21. A man's belly shall be satisfied by the fruit of his mouth. And then verse 21 says, life and death is in the power of the tongue, and those that like it will eat the fruit of it, whether it be life or death. Then we said, if you don't like where your life is today, you can change your life tomorrow by changing your words. Then we went on to say that words are containers. They are containers, and they will manifest after their kind. And when you speak a word, and we had a little can of, where's my little can at? Bring me my little can up here. I want to rest. Who was not here last night? Okay. Hi, where were y'all last night? You was at your brother's house? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want you to get this little, this is a little object lesson here. Let me introduce my wife to everybody here. Miss Brenda, stand up and let the folks see you again tonight. Some people weren't here last. This is my wife. This is her first time being down in the nation. Y'all give a hand this evening. That's Miss Brenda Gale. Hallelujah. I was at a meeting in St. Louis, and Lindsay Roberts, who's Richard Roberts' wife, and she was teaching on the mouth and words, the tongue, all of them go together. And she said that her mother, she liked to go into a cosmetic department in a store, maybe like Dillard's or Foley's or something, and she would spray on all these different fragrances. And then she would say, Lindsay, how do I smell? And Lindsay would say, Mama, you got on 15 different fragrances. I don't know. And she went in one day, and she did her usual thing, and she asked Lindsay, and Lindsay said, Mother, my answer is the same. And the lady behind the counter said, she stepped from behind the counter, and she says, Ma'am, I don't mean to be rude, but that's not the way you put perfume on. And she says, well, how do I put it on? She said, you take it, and you spray it out in front of you, and then you walk into it and let it settle down on you. And when she said that, I went, my God. Then she said, when you speak a word out of your mouth, it goes out in front of you just like psst, psst, And you walking along, and all of a sudden things are happening in your life. Those words are manifesting. Somebody said, praise the Lord, didn't they? And depending on what you said back here is what you getting up here, because you are a product up here of what you said back here. Now, some of y'all might fight me on that. Brother Maceo, no way. Then we found out also something else about words, that words are the most powerful things on the face of this earth. Now, Brother Maceo, come on. Words are the most powerful things on the face of this earth. And then we talked a little bit about all the construction that's going on the roads today, and you passing through and you see all this heavy equipment out there, and they're moving all these heavy concrete objects and whatever needs to be moving. I mean some expensive, huge, large equipment. And you know that thing has power. But it says words are the most powerful thing on the first face of this earth. Then we brought it a little closer, and we said, what if someone pulled up out there tonight with some equipment and was able to lift this whole church up and then move it to another location? That would be some awesome power. But words, more powerful than that. I want that to get in your spirit. And your tongue in your mouth has the ability to speak words that carries that kind of power. And God has given you that, and you are the only creature on earth that has the ability to choose the words that you will speak. You choose the words that you'll speak. So if you don't like the way your life is going today, you can change it. You can change it tomorrow. How? By changing your words. And then we went through a series of scriptures, and over in the book of Proverbs, it says a man shall eat good. A man shall be satisfied by the fruit of his mouth. What are we saying? What we're saying out of our mouth will actually manifest in our lives. And I think that's one of the hardest things believers have to deal with is the mouth. And until we get our mouths lined up with what the word, what God has already said, we will find ourselves struggling in many areas. Hallelujah. But we're learning, aren't we? Yeah, we're learning. And I also said last night, I said, this probably won't be a jump and shout meeting, because when you speak on the mouth, you speak on the tongue, you teach more so than just a lot of hallelujah, but God will be able to do things in people's lives. So there might not be any shouting tonight, but it's going to be some deliverance in here tonight. Tonight, we're going to talk about seven primary reasons why the confession of God's word works for you. Seven primary reasons why confessing God's word works for you. Excuse me. See if you get an understanding of something. If you can get an understanding of it and know why you're doing something. The boss come to you on the job and he says, I want you to do this, I want you to do this, I want you to do this, and I want you to do this. Get started. Wow. Well, you heard what he said. And maybe in your mind, you think you really know what he wants done. And you go out and do it, and then he come back and he says, no, I didn't. Why did you do that? You said, no, I didn't mean that. You say, well, you did not explain it to me. I did not have an understanding of it. And so by last night, we taught on the speaking the word. Tonight, I'm going to give you 7 reasons why it works for you when you do it according to what God's word has already said. Is that fair enough? Reason number one. Confession of God's word worked for you because it's the way you sow seeds in the kingdom. Thank you. Turn your Bibles to Mark 4, 20, verse 26 and 27. Let's take a look at it. Praise the Lord. Mark 4, 26, verse 27. 26 and 27. When you get there, say amen. All right. In the 4th chapter of the book of Mark, verse 26, it says, "And he said," talking about Jesus, "so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. So is the kingdom of heaven as if a man casts seed in the ground, and then he goes to sleep, and he gets up, and he knows not how. But all of a sudden, that seed comes forth." Now, I said last night, if you can look at how things work in the natural, you can also find out, see how they work in the spiritual. The spiritual actually comes before the natural. Y'all already know that, being believers. If you go out in your garden tomorrow and plant a seed tomorrow, you are going to go to sleep and get up and go to sleep and get up again before you're going to see any results of that seed. Am I correct? What he says right here, the kingdom of God is the same way. And he's talking about sowing his word. Now you say, "But Brother Maceo, how do I take the word of God and sow it in the ground like I do a physical seed?" Well, see, the ground that you sow the word of God into is your spirit. You sow it into your heart. And then your heart, your spirit, talking about the same thing, not this blood pump now. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the real you, the real man on the inside of this earth suit. This is just the earth suit here, the thing we in to get around down here on planet Earth. This is not the real Maceo you're looking at. I'm in the inside. Are y'all with me? I am a spirit. I have a soul, and I live in a physical body. My soul consists of my mind, my will, and my emotions. That's what's in my spirit. This thing here is just a piece of dirt. That's all it is. So begin to get that concept. Begin to get that in your spirit that you are a spirit and you're created in the image of God. And God doesn't do anything unless he speaks a word. That is his MO, method of operation. And since you're created in his image, you have the same ability to speak his words. It's not necessary that you completely understand everything about God's method, but you must understand how to apply the method. This is a principle of God. And when we say the word principle, we're talking about a rule or a code of conduct, a rule or a code of conduct. This is how you will conduct yourself in getting the word of God into your spirit. Guess what? No one else can do it for you. No one else can do it for you. It's an individual process. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. You must speak the word of God, then it becomes a seed sown in your heart. Faith works in the heart. I want to say it again. Faith works in the heart, in the spirit man. Now, there was a time in my life I was trying to muster up faith in my head. Oh, I believe. No. It works in your spirit. And faith is in the word of God. Are you with me? All right. Your head is the goal setter. Your head is the goal setter. You think with your head. Your speaking is a product of your thoughts and your meditation. Your speaking is a product of your thoughts and the things that you meditate on. Think about it. What have you been thinking about lately? What have you been talking about lately? And then what have you been getting in your life? Yes. Charles Capps has a little story that he tells about this man sitting in church, and he lived out in the woods, and he came uptown and he was at this church, and it was a cold day, and he saw this man go over to a thermostat on the wall and make an adjustment, and all of a sudden it started getting warm in that church, and he looked over there, he says, I'm gonna get me one of those and put in my old shack out in the country. And so he went down to the hardware store and got him one and went out to his little shack in the country and nailed that thing up on the wall and set it up on 70 degrees and sit there waiting on it to get warm. And nothing happened. And then he said, I guess that thing just don't work for me. No, the thermostat is the goal setter. The power is produced in the furnace. The head is the goal setter. The power is produced in the spirit. Are you getting it? You gonna get that one, huh? Yeah. Hallelujah. I guess that thing just don't work for me. How many people have you said, I confessed that word for 2 or 3 days, I guess it just don't work for me. I'm still sick. I'm still broke. I'm still this and I'm still that. You haven't developed the power yet in your spirit. And it takes time for that power to develop. Reason number two. Confession of God's word works because it causes faith to come. Why do you need faith to come? Woo! Because faith brings the substance for the thing that you're hoping for. Then the anointing is released to destroy the burden and remove the yoke until that thing you're hoping for is manifest.
Glory to God.
It takes time.
Say it again.
Yes. It takes time. No, you want me to say the other? Confession of God's word works because it calls faith to come. Why do you want faith to come? It brings the substance for the thing that you're hoping for. And then the anointing is released to destroy the burden and remove the yoke until that thing you're hoping for is manifest. If you get that, you can get out of debt real quick. And I'm teaching under the anointing now. And whenever someone teaches under the anointing, a profile will be developed. If you latch on to that right there, you can get anything you want to get. And all you do is start using these seven principles we're going to go through here tonight. And there's a lot of things involved. You got to be diligent and you got to, you know, you got to stay with it, stay with it. But I'm just giving you some basic things here that you can begin to use them right now, and we're going to get down and I'm going to talk about you begin to use it in the small things first. Still on this principle here, it says you speaking the word is setting the goal by sowing seeds in the kingdom of God within you. It is also your words that cause faith to come. Write this scripture down. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, I want to tell you something else. If faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, how does fear come? Just flip it, flip it, flip it, comes the same way. How does your problems increase? You keep talking about it. You keep hearing yourself talk about it. Yes, and it increases. Same thing. Comes the same way, and it's all working out of your mouth. We're back to the tongue again, aren't we? Hallelujah. Now, when you begin to exercise, begin to use this principle here, you can do it in any area of your life. Now, we said last night that you need to start making deposits of the Word of God in your spirit before you actually need that word for the situation that's going to be coming up. The storms are coming. The storms are coming. Two men built houses. One built them on the rock. One built them on the sand. The storm hit both houses. Hit both houses. The one on the sand couldn't stand. The one on the rock, it stood. What had he done? He built on the rock. And what we're saying right here is that if you know from time to time, I mean just you know this, that sickness is going to try to get on you. It loves to get on people. But you can start making deposits in your spirit on scriptures of healing and divine health, and you'll already have that built into your spirit. And when that thing try to attach itself to you, you say, no, devil. I resist sickness and disease. You're not the will of God for me. Leave my presence. I'm healed by the stripes that he took on his back. Now, you got to have that in, because if you don't have that in, you can't make no withdrawal. You don't got anything in the bank? You can't get nothing out of there. And we said last night depositing the word into your spirit is just like taking your money from your check when you get paid, putting it in the bank so you can use it at a later time. Look at it in the natural, you can see how it works in the spiritual. And the word is more valuable than that money that you got. Oh, it is. Because that word has life in it. Now, don't get me wrong. I like that money, too. Both of them are good. Finances. You're going to need finances. And as you go further and further in life, you need more and more finances. Why don't you get in the word and start doing some studying and making some deposits on the scriptures where God talks about finances? What are you doing? You're sowing that word into the kingdom. You're sowing it in. You keep sowing it in, laying down, getting up, going to bed, laying down, and all of a sudden things begin to happen. You know not how. All you're doing is doing what the word say do. And the word has the power in it to bring itself to pass. It has the power in it to bring itself to pass. Faith comes and brings the substance of the thing hoped for. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I'm gonna say something here, and this is off the teaching, but I just heard it in my spirit. The Holy Ghost wanted me to share it with you. I was reading that scripture, and there's another word in that scripture that the Holy Ghost quickened my spirit with, and it was evidence. He says, look at that word, evidence. And I thought, I see it. He says, if you go to the doctor, and he make his, run his tests on you, he's going to come out and give you a report or the evidence to prove or to say to you what your problem is. My evidence is based on your blood count or your how many heartbeats you have per minute. Based on this information, which is the evidence here, this is what you got. You hear me? Look at it in the natural now. That's what he's giving you. What evidence do you have in the word that says, no, I'm not going with that report? Are you with me? See, I'm a man of wisdom, and I know that when the word says that in wisdom's right hand is length of days and long life. So, see, I got length of days and long life, and I know also that I got some evidence, Doc, that I'll live and not die. See, I'm not the sick trying to get well. I'm the heal, and Satan's trying to put it on me. See, that's my evidence. But if you don't got it in there, you're going to go with his. And many people will get that bad report from a doctor, and before long, I mean, they're out of here. And y'all know what I'm talking about. Get your evidence bill up. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. God will honor his promises, but you set the goal and plant the seed. He will honor his word. You set the goal and plant the seed. Are y'all all right? All right. Now, the more highly developed you are in this principle, the quicker the manifestation will come. The more highly developed you are in the two principles we've already talked about, the quicker you're going to get the manifestation. Now, y'all know that in order to develop something, you got to work at it. You got to work at it. And I'm giving you a lot of scriptures. You need to go home and study these scriptures. I recommended some books last night. Charles Capps' book, Faith and Confession. The Power of the Tongue. The tongue is a created power, whatever that book is by Charles Capps. Get some of his books and begin to study that. And then listen to folks like Brother Hagin and Brother Copeland and Pastor Rod. And always listen to Pastor Rod because he's a shepherd here. Yeah, he's full of faith now. Hallelujah. Reason number three, confessing God's word works for you because it renews your mind to the word of God. Glory. Confessing that word will renew your mind. You got born again. You got born again. And your spirit was reborn. But your mind was not. It has to be renewed. It has to be transformed to come in line with the Word of God. Most Christians struggle in that area. And George Meyer wrote a book a number of years ago, and it's entitled The Battlefield is in the Mind. The battlefield is in the mind. Many of the things that keep defeating you right now, if you would get your mind renewed in that area according to what the word says, you get victory. Why? Because faith will come. Bring the substance. The anointing is released to destroy the burden and remove the yoke. And that's the only, no, I won't say the only reason, but I want to tell you that the anointing comes to destroy burdens and remove yokes. That's why he comes. And that's the power arm of God for the believer to get rid of the burdens and get rid of the yokes. That's the work of the anointing. That's his ministry. Hallelujah. Romans 12:2, you can write that down. It says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, listen at that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of his. Did you hear that word, prove? Well, God, nothing that I see in your word is working for me. It's happening for Sister Evelyn. It's happening for Brother Rod. It's happening for a lot of other Christians. I'm born again. I've been born again for 20 years. But for some reason, it's not working for me. You got to renew your mind. Because if you get your mind renewed, you'll start seeing what his good and perfect and acceptable will is for your life. Now remember, can't anybody do it for you? You got to do it. Gloria Copeland has a book out called Hidden Treasures. It's an awesome devotional. If you don't have it, get it. And you'll never be the same. I've been reading it since October of 1998, and I'm still reading it. Hidden Treasures, Enjoying the Abundant Life Through the Riches of Proverbs. You need to get it. Listen what she says in that book about renewing the mind. Renewing the mind is an adjustment, write this down, It's an adjustment of the moral and spiritual vision and thinking to the mind of God. It's an adjustment of the moral and spiritual vision and thinking to the mind of God. Period. It's a gradual conforming of the man more and more to that new spiritual world into which he has been introduced and in which he now lives and moves. I'll say it again. All right. First of all, it's an adjustment of the moral and spiritual vision and thinking to the mind of God. You have to make adjustments in your thinking. The Holy Ghost will speak to you, or you will see a scripture, and something will come up on the inside of you, depending on where you are, where you've been, and you say, no, I'm not going to do that. Could be something as simple as tithing. That's really simple. But you have to make an adjustment. Because the devil will tell you, no, you don't need to tithe now because you know you got this, you got that. Wait until you get a little bit more and then start tithing. Well, see, you got to make an adjustment and say, no, this is what the word says right here. And then you look at the benefits that comes from tithing. He said, I'll open the windows of heaven. I'll pour it out on you, a blessing. You won't be able to contain it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. You want that? You better start tithing. You can't stand on that scripture if you're not tithing now. You might be standing on a lot of others, but that one right there, you can't go to him and say, hey, that devourer's on me over here. Get him off of me. He say, you better go over to Malachi and start renewing your mind. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It is a gradual conforming of the man more and more to that new spiritual world into which he has been introduced and in which now he lives and moves. When you are born again, you are introduced into the kingdom of God. It's a new world. Your spirit is. You're still in this world, but you're not of this world. You over in the kingdom of God, and the principles and the laws that operate in the kingdom of God do not work over here in the world's kingdom. And if you are in the kingdom of God and you're still trying to operate worldly principles and traditions that you had in the world's kingdom, and you're trying to operate in God's kingdom, you're failing. Because you know what? The stuff in the world doesn't have the anointing on it. But the stuff over here in the kingdom that he puts you in when you're born again, it has that burden-removing, yoke-destroying power on it to take care of that stuff over there in that world. Get that. Get that. If you and I left here right now and moved to South Africa, she's from South Africa. Which one of y'all from South Africa? Okay, she is right there. That one right there. We'd have to learn the customs, the way the people live, get used to the food. I don't know if you're going to find lubies in places like that over there. I don't know what to eat. I haven't been over there yet. Sister Evelyn probably been over there. All right. But what am I saying? It's different. It's another world. And then you have to learn about it if you're going to be successful and have a good life in it. Same thing about the kingdom of God. Look at it in the natural, and you can figure out how it works in the spiritual. Y'all with me? Hallelujah. Which one are we on now, number three? We're going to number four now. All right. I want to hit a couple more points in this on number three here. We're talking about renewing the mind. Listen at this. Fear, if allowed to run its course, will always put you under the circumstances. Get that? Fear, if you allow it to run its course, it will put you under the circumstance. Flip it. Flip it. If you let faith run its course, what will it do? Y'all getting it? Y'all getting it? It puts you over. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. When you renew your mind in God's word, it will put you over the circumstances. Why? Because you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created you. That's what it put you over. Reason number four. Confessing God's word works for you because it keeps the answer before you. Confessing God's word works for you because it keeps the answer before you. Flip it. Not confessing God's word will do what? Keep the problem before you. Flip it. She said, oh, yeah. Hallelujah. If you are always facing the problem, listen at this, speaking the problem, praying the problem, then you will have faith in the problem. If you are always talking the problem to others, then you really do have a problem. If you are going to God and saying to God, God, I have this problem and it's getting bigger and bigger. Guess what the problem's doing? Getting bigger and bigger, and you trying to get God to get rid of the problem, and he says you got to renew your mind to what he's already said about the problem. And then you got his attention. What gets his attention? Faith. Crying don't get it. You can't find a scripture where he says, start crying and you got my attention. Faith pleases him. And his word is faith. I want you to get that. Sympathy and pity. Get the word in your mouth. Get your word in your mouth. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You go to bed with the problem. You wake up with the problem. You live the problem. You eat the problem. You are consumed with the problem. Your time is consumed with the problem. Your thoughts are consumed with the problem. Your prayers are consumed with the problem. And faith is coming. But not God's faith. The faith in that problem is coming. And that problem has no burden-removing, yoke-destroying power in it. You with me? The only thing that has that is the word of God. Stop talking about the problem. Because every time you do, it gets bigger and it gets bigger. Now, flip it. You are sleeping with God's word. You are eating with God's word. You are talking about God's word. You are consumed with God's word. What's going to happen? You're going to get the answer according to what the word says. So all you got to do is flip it. Look at the natural and look at the spiritual. I wrote on here, turn it around. Joshua 1:8, he told him, said, don't let this word come out of your mouth. Do you know, I don't know, probably nobody in here, but I've been around people that every time you saw them or came in contact with them, They were complaining about something. I mean, every time that complaint is coming out of their mouth. Now, people will have a problem when that they look at that Jeremiah 1 and he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. And they'll say, I can't talk the word of God all the time, but you can complain all the time. It's the same mouth with the same tongue. You got to flip it. Turn it over. Y'all know people, especially some of you ladies. Y'all probably know some ladies, every time they call you, how you doing? Oh, let me tell you about this deal, this problem going on with me. Every time. Oh, yeah. Some of y'all work with them. Soon as you get in the break room, you go on a 10-minute break, boom, they're talking about the problem. That word is constantly coming out of their mouth all the time. So if you can do it in the natural, you can do it in the spiritual over here according to Joshua 1:8, can't you? Praise the Lord. Look at Philippians 4, verse 6 through 8. Let's look at that. He's going to tell you now how to think. Philippians, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Philippians 4, glory to God. Philippians 4, verse 6. Are y'all there? Okay. It says in verse 6 of chapter 4, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Ha ha. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. Mm-hmm. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through the anointed one and his anointing, which is Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, get this one. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any power, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. It's Paul talking. Think on these things. Well, Brother Maceo, it says, wow, that's quite a bit to think on. Whatever is just and pure and lovely. But see, Brother Maceo, if I do all that, I can't complain. Because it says if you do all that, you have a good report. I don't know if I want to make that adjustment. See, it's an adjustment of the moral and spiritual vision and thinking to the word of God. It's a gradual conforming of that man more and more to that spiritual world he's been introduced in that he now lives and moves in. And he's telling that new man right here how to think. Y'all got it? Think on these things. Now look, what you got to do probably 10, 15, 20 times a day, when your mind flip over there on the problems, you're not going to have the money to pay your rent. You're not going to, you got to flip it. You got to make the adjustment then. Don't you think your mind is going to finally get to the point where it's going to say, okay, we're going to get you out of this dilemma. No, it's not. And don't you think it's going to lead you to this? Because your mind is enmity to this, is hostile. It does not want to get into this right here. You have to make it. Pastor Terry said last Wednesday night, one of the qualities of the or the characteristics of becoming a mature elder in spiritual things is that you can make your flesh do what you tell it to do. Then you growing up. One of the characteristics of becoming an adult spiritually, maturing spiritually, is you can make your flesh do what you tell it to do. You tell it to shut up. I don't think those thoughts. I think on these things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely. And because I think on these things, I always have a good report. 2 minutes later, it's back on you again. Shut up. I don't think on that. I think on things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely. I think on things. I think on what Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and I'm seated up there with him. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, you keep doing it, and you keep doing it, and you keep doing it, and that thing that's been talking to you, that's that tongue on the inside of you. All Christians know the scripture. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And any tongue that rises up against me, I will condemn it. That thing talking to you is what your boss said to you 2 weeks ago, and you still meditating on it. That's that tongue. What your parents said to you when you were growing up, and now you 40, and that tongue still talking to you about it. And you offended and you mad. Or there's situations in your marriage, things been said, things been done, and that tongue keep talking to you, and then you flippantly come out with that scripture, any tongue riseth up against me, I'll condemn it. No, you're not, because it's condemning you. That thing's killing you. You got to get on it. That's what that's talking about. That's that conversation going on the inside of you. That's it. You cast that thing down. Second Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought. It didn't say some of them. It says every thought that's trying to raise itself up above the knowledge of God. You keep getting that pain in your body, in your mind, telling you you're sick. That thing's trying to raise itself up above. By his stripes you heal. You got to get on it. It's an adjustment that you got to make. Can't nobody do it for you. Is this too heavy for you? Woo, it's good to me, because I've been having to do it today. I've been having to do it today. Couldn't nobody do it for me. My wife anointed me with oil in the hotel room and laid hands on me. But then I had to get with it. See, he attacks me too. I'm no different. We had a lady to come by today, our hotel room, and I want to tell you this, how God just set this thing up. And I was out walking. Y'all heard me talk about, you know, I walk in my neighborhood, and I was walking about a week or so ago and passed by these people's house, and they had a sign out front that said garage sale. So I said, okay, I'm going to just walk by here and see what they got, because my wife, she likes to go to garage sales. And I had just got my check, so I figured she wanted to spend some money at a garage sale, you know. We got plenty of stuff, but she keeps stacking it up. But that's all right. I love her anyway. So they had some really nice things. So I went on home, and I told Brenda, I said, you know, there's a home around here having a yard sale, garage sale, I think. That's what it was called. And I said, let's go around. And it had some water hoses, 50-feet water hoses for like $2. And I needed a couple of them. So I got three of them for like $6. Some of you pay like $15 for at Walmart's. So anyway, we hit it off. We hit it off with these people. And basically, that was it. Well, we got our items and we left. And then next few days, I was walking back. And what they were doing is moving out of this house, and they were moving into a condo downtown Fort Worth. It's an elderly couple. And I was walking by, and I walked by the street, and the Holy Ghost says, go back and tell them goodbye. And I thought, why is he getting involved with this? Because, you know, last night I told y'all that I had learned something from Brother Copeland New Year's Eve over in that Psalms 112, and he says, the man that has a fixed and an established heart is one that everything that someone say to him, everything that happens around him, everything that he sees on the TV, everything that goes on around him, he says, how does that compare to the Word of God? What is God doing here? That's when your heart is established in the Word. You're looking at the natural and you're looking at the spiritual. Everything. And you have to train yourself to do that. And then I told you a thing that had happened to me. So I did that, but he didn't say a word. He didn't say anything. So I went back. I was obedient. And when I went back, and I was just talking to the man, and they had the movers over, moved all this stuff down to the townhouse, and they was just cleaning the place up. Well, anyway, I got to talking to him, and he had a desk, a dresser, right, that he needed, that his son was going to be coming up from Houston to pick up. Son lives here in Houston. And what they were going to do is set this thing in the garage, and then his son was going to come up later and pick it up. And some more people actually bought the home, so, you know, it's going to be 2 or 3 months the thing was going to be sitting in the garage. Well, anyway, I told him, I said, well, we're coming to Houston. I'm going to Houston Monday, and I'm driving a cargo van down there. I just put it on my van, I'll take it down to your son. Oh, hallelujah, glory to God. You know, and the wife just, God just working everything out for us, you know. And well, anyway, we brought that thing down here and called the people last night, yesterday evening before we came over here, and told them that they could come by today and pick it up. Well, the husband didn't come, but the wife came. And came in, and she was very enthusiastic, and she sat down, and she just began to talk, and she had a lot of questions she was asking my wife and myself, and the Holy Ghost began to move. And I said, uh-huh. She started talking about her marriage. She started talking about her husband is an alcoholic. And she actually said at one point that she had set a date that in the next 4 years, as soon as her daughter, last kid, get out of school, she didn't already set the date, she getting out of this thing. And she wanted to know if my wife and I had been to seminary and all of that and what kind of church we went to and so forth and so on. So she was screening us. And we just kind of sit there. And then finally the Holy Ghost opened the door for us to minister to her. And my wife read some prayers, a prayer to her for her husband out of prayers that avail much. We put that oil on her, laid hands on her, prayed for her, and that woman got up and she started like she was lifting stuff off of her in the hotel room. And what did she say, Brenda? She said, scary, but I like it. It's scary, but I like it. And prayed for her husband, prayed for her, and I laid hands on, and the Holy Ghost told me, says, tell her things are going to start coming up out of her that she haven't heard come out of her in years. And a song, this woman, what, you figure about 50-something, maybe 60? And she starts singing a song while I had hands laid on in that hotel room that she hadn't sung since she was a little girl. Came right up out of her. And then at the end of the thing, she said, told my wife and I, she said, y'all are special. No, we just yield to the power of God and to the Holy Ghost, and we want to be a vessel for him to work through 24 hours a day. When he get ready to move, we've already told him, you can move through us. Make yourself available. Make yourself available. He'll do you the same way. Nothing special about us. She said that nothing special about us. You just stay hooked up to him. And as we've started, you keep praising him, and he'll be there all the time, all the time, all the time. And I tell you, the Christian life is the most exciting life you could ever live when you really get hooked up with him and let him move through you. But due to all of that, due to all of that, and after that lady left, and then I'm gonna get back to the lesson, I had some kind of attack on my body. all day long. And I had my tape going. I had my confessions out. And the same thing I had to preach to y'all last night, I had to get it out and use it today. But glory to God. I was back in Pastor Rod's office before the service. I was dancing back there. I was feeling good, you know, cutting me a jig. I'm healed. I'm not putting up with his junk. Hallelujah. All right, let's move on now. Reason number five. Praise the Lord. Confessing God's word works for you because it changes your heart. Confessing God's word works for you because it changes your heart. That's number five. Hallelujah. Proverbs 4, verse 20 and 23. Let's look at it. Proverbs 4, verse 20 and 23. I love the book of Proverbs. Did y'all know there's a scripture in the book of Proverbs that says, wherever people gather, wisdom is there crying out to them, saying, hey, stupid, how long you gonna be stupid? It's in the Bible. Yeah, wherever people gather, hey, stupid. Yeah, how long you gonna be stupid? Thought, man, God thought of everything. You want to bless us. Proverbs 4, verse 20. Now, Proverbs 4 is the scripture that you can use to receive God's word. Now, listen at this. This is the one that Creflo teaches out of when he's teaching on the law of receiving. This is the one that Sister Copeland teaches out of when they're teaching the law of receiving. And in verse 20, it says this, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. It says, keep it before your eyes. Keep it going into your ears. Keep it coming out of your mouth, and it'll get in your heart in abundance, and that's when the power. Going back to that old boy took that thermostat out there and put it on that wall and just turned it up. See, the power is not produced in the thermostat. It's produced in the furnace. All right. Now listen, because I'm going to make you flip. I'm going to use my word again, flip it. Look at 20 again. My son. Now, I'm going to tell you how to read this scripture. Where it says, my son, you need to look at that and you need to say, that's me. Maceo, Brenda, Evelyn, Pastor Rod, attend to my word. Incline your ear, Maceo, unto my sayings. You got to make it personal to you. He's talking to you. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, Maceo. Keep them. Now watch this. What are you inclining your eyes to most of the time? What are you attending to most of the time? Whatever you are letting go in your eyes and whatever you're letting go in your ears is getting into your spirit. And once it gets into your spirit in abundance, and when you act on it, it will overwhelm you. if you are watching those soap operas every day, it's going in your eyes, it's going in your ears, it's getting in your heart, it's coming out of your mouth too, because you're talking about them. I know about old Erica and them. I used to watch them, record it in the daytime, come home, put the popcorn in the microwave, put the VCR on. Hey, couldn't miss it. Addicted to them. Had it going in my eyes, going in my ears, talked about it at work. But look at here. But look at here. But I found out that it did not have any life in it, and it was not health nor healing to my flesh. I'm looking and listening and talking about the wrong thing. I'm not getting any benefit. Now, that scripture right there from what I just said, if there's anybody in here got any thoughts that God's not a good God, and if you think that he don't want you the best for you, that right there should clean it up for you. Make the adjustment. Because he said it would be health and healing to your body. He wants nothing but good for you. But you got to make the adjustment. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, that's number five, isn't it? That was Proverbs. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You guard your heart by keeping it from getting crowded with the thorns and the stones. A lot of that stuff on the TV can be considered stones and thorns. Now, I want to tell you something else. You're hanging around with a lot of friends. You got some acquaintances that every time they start talking, it's thorns and stones. And it's going in your eyes, it's going in your ears, and it's getting in your heart. And you'll start talking just like they talk. You'll start talking just like they talk. Unless it's, and if it's Pastor Rod, you want that. Because what he's talking is going to be health and healing to your flesh. He says sometime. Hallelujah. Oh, wow. The natural soil. Listen at this. The natural soil will try to grow anything that you put in it. If you put a rock in that soil, it doesn't know any difference. It's going to go to work on that rock just like it will do on a seed. All the nutrients and everything that's in that soil, when you put that rock in it, it's going to try to grow that rock. But it can't do it. No life. Your spirit is no different. Flip it. If you putting rocks, you putting bad stuff in and what have you, it's trying to grow it. Now, it's going to bring it forth, your spirit will, but it won't be health and healing to your flesh. And in the book of James, the word is called the incorruptible seed. Incorruptible seed. It's a seed. And if we had tonight an apple seed here, this is good. If we had an apple seed and I was holding it in my hand and you say, yeah, that's an apple seed. And the end results of what you really want from that apple seed are the apples, right? And you can visualize in your mind, you can get a profile of the apples that you're going to be getting from that seed. But you can't see the roots that's going to be on the tree. You can't see how tall the tree's going to be. You can't see all the limbs on the tree, but that seed has everything in it to bring forth what needs to be brought forth to give you the apples. The Word of God has everything already in it to bring forth the promise. All you got to do is plant it and stay focused on the end results. Don't get distracted. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the test. He wasn't looking at what was going on right there. The joy that was set before him. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hallelujah. Reason number six. Hallelujah. Confession of God's word works for you because it sets the law of faith in motion. Confessing God's word works for you because it sets the law of faith in motion. Faith is a law, and that law works by love. Now, maybe sometimes Pastor Rod has probably already preached on it. And if he hasn't, he'll get round to it, because he's out of Christ for the nations. He's a word man. I know him. He's going to preach on the working knowledge of the word, how it works. Now, listen at this. I'm stepping over into something else. But he will finally preach to you, and you'll find out what faith is doing while patience is keeping you steady. And you'll find out what love is doing while faith is keeping you steady, while patience is keeping you steady, and faith is out here rounding up the substance. You'll get a working knowledge of what all of those fruits are doing, so you'll be able to stay steady in the midst of the storm. What is joy doing? What is patience doing? What is love doing? What is temperance doing? All nine of those fruits, if you got them all developed in you, see, we said something, the more highly developed you are in this, the quicker it manifests. And what you want to begin to do is develop the fruits that's in that new spirit man. They're in now, all nine of them. And you have to develop them. Are you with me? Romans 3:27, don't go there, but Paul says, where is boasting then? It's excluded. By what law? Nay, by the law of faith, which is the same law he pretty much refers to over in Romans 8:7, where he says, don't be carnal-minded. He says to be spiritually minded is life and death, but to be spiritually minded is life, and to be carnal minded is death. Thank you, Miss Brenda. Glory. Yes. We need to renew our minds to the point where our heads won't fight with us. Amen. Write that down. Glory. We need to renew our minds to the point where our head won't fight with us. You think with your head. It will fight you. It will fight you. But one of the characteristics of an adult that's growing up spiritually is he can make his flesh do what he tell it to do. See, you just take a census of where you are now. How much control do you have on your faith when it comes to the Word of God? And if you don't have a lot of control, don't be condemned. Just say, hey, I need to make an adjustment here. I need to make an adjustment. And then you make that adjustment, and then another word, it says it's a gradual conforming of the man. So don't, because you made the adjustment and you don't see the results in a week or so, stay hooked up to that word. It's a gradual conforming, a little by little, a little by little. And then you look up one day and you're going to be way down the road. Way down the road. Hallelujah. We need to renew our minds to the point, okay, where our heads don't fight with us. We just talked about that. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We have the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believe and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Same spirit of faith. You got it. You're not going to get it. You got it. So many people are asking God to give them something that he's already gave them. Let me clarify this. Stop asking him to give you patience. You already got it. You got to develop it. Stop asking him to give you faith. He already did. When, Brother Maceo? At the new birth. I don't see it. It's in you. You can't see your brain either. But you got one. It's in you. When a baby begins to form in the womb, watch this now. And when that baby is born, he has two arms, has two eyes, has a nose, has two legs, ten toes, 10 fingers. He has all that when he's born. He don't have to come to you one morning and say, give me two arms. He already has them. When you were born again, you already got the faith. Your spirit has all that 9 fruits of the spirit already in you. Stop asking him for it. Holy Ghost, help me to develop it. That's one of his ministries, is to help us in our daily walk. He's a helper. We on number 6? Let's go to number 7, last one. Y'all learn anything? The Lord. I'm going to stay on number 6 just for a few more minutes, because this is a very important point, because some people are asking, well, Brother Maceo, where do I start? Start where you are. Do not try to start on someone else's level. You might get in a meeting and you, and it's, and I mean, you know, I'm just to, you know, I'm just learning. Pastor Rod's teaching me, and I'm learning. But, I mean, there's some people been out here preaching it for a long time, and they got a whole lot more experience than I have. And you get in one of those meetings, and I tell you, you hear them talking about some things, and you say, man, I'm going to get that tomorrow. I'm going to get me, I'm in a house now, about $50,000 house. I'm going to get me one for $2 million. You ever thought about what the light bill gonna be in that thing? And the taxes? And then you believing, you confessing, and it's not showing up. And then you'll get discouraged. If you are right down here and this is the first time you're hearing something like this, why don't you just start believing that you'll have you a parking place right up front tomorrow if you go downtown Houston? God, I believe that those angels go before me. And when I get downtown tomorrow, that building that I got to go in, I believe you'll have me a parking place right up there close to the front where I can get parked and go on up in there and do my business and come on out of there. If that's where you are. Now, if you done got past that parking space deal, I mean, it's a given thing. Now, if I'm going downtown, I already know. It's done happened so many times, but I'm going to go ahead and remind you of it one more time, God, because I'm headed down. I want that parking place. See, you already, you've already developed in that. That's established. That's a good word. You might need a pair of shoes, a new dress. And see, if you if it don't come, I mean, you don't get all bent out of shape. But at least you start practicing. See, you got to practice. You got to practice. And then God will move you from a parking space, and then he'll move you to something else. And then all of a sudden you start saying, I want a parking place, and I want some time on the meter. I want some time on the meter. And you get the parking place and you get the time on the meter. Somebody else put the money in for you. And then you start saying, everywhere I go, the favor of God follows me. I got favor. What are you doing? You're growing now. You're growing now. Now you're talking about the favor of God. And then Pastor Rod comes in here and he preaches on something. And that's really not too far for you. You say, I can get that. I got confidence enough now to know I can have that. And then you start working towards that thing on what we're teaching here, and then all of a sudden you get that. You constantly growing. And then all of a sudden you get to the point where you're like Kenneth Copeland Ministries that's up there believing for 2 citation 10s. 18 million apiece. 2 of them. They need it to get the gospel out. They need it to take those crews with them when they're going out there on the field. They believe in for $8 million to come into that ministry every month. They are calling in 1 million partners to that ministry. Not because it's something that he wants to do, but because he's been commissioned by God to do it. And guess how he's doing it? With his tongue, words, according to the scripture. And it's going to happen. And it's going to happen. Because after 32 years, he's developed where God can say, I want you to do this. And he's had enough, he's been established long enough that his faith is up there. And he says, yes, God. Yes, God. And God says, I know you're going to use faith, so I'm already pleased. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Glory to God. Y'all believing for something else here. Pastor Rod was sharing with me last night. Y'all believing for something else. But when you get that, don't you think it's over? Because you're going something else from faith to faith, from glory to glory. You never stop using your faith. Why? The just shall live by faith. You can't live by anything else. The just shall live by faith. And that's what pleases the Father. Reason number 7. Confessing God's word works for you because it puts the angels to work for you. Number 7. Confessing God's word works for you because it puts the angels to work for you. And guess what? you don't have to pay them. You don't have to put them on the payroll. The angels are listening to your words. We talked about it last night. Look at Hebrews 1, verses 13 and 14. And we're coming down to the end now. Hebrews. Verse 13, chapter 1, verse 13 says, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, 'Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool'? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" Sent out to minister for you. Well, Brother Mason, does that mean they're going to go preach for me? Well, you might need to get a message to a friend that you haven't seen for about 10 or 15 years. You don't even know where they are. There might be a child that's been strayed away from home and you haven't heard from them in months. But now, you know that you are an heir of salvation, right? So it says that the angels will hearken to your word when it's spoken as to what God has said. So you go into scripture and you find scriptures pertaining to folks that then left and you haven't heard about them. And you put that in your mouth and you say, "Now, angels, I commission you to go and deliver a message. I want my child to call me tonight." Young man came in my office when I was living in St. Louis, and he said, I was a sales trainer for a company at that time, and he says, "Brother Maceo," he says, "my brother has been missing for 4 days. He says, "My mom is in England, and he and I were home, and he left 4 days ago. I don't know where he is." I said, "Is that right?" He says, "Yeah." He said, I'm pretty worried about it." I said, "Well, do you believe in angels?" And he looked at me. He says, "Yeah, I believe in angels." I said, "Do you believe the angels can have your brother to get in touch with you?" And he says, "I don't know. I don't know where he is." I said, "But the angels know." I said, "I tell you what, let's pray. I got enough faith for you." And I prayed. And it's simple. "Now, angels, I commission you to go." And I can't think of the brother's name. And I said, "Wherever he is, I want you to go now. And I want you to whisper in his ear and have him to call, or someone that knows where he is, whisper in their ear and have them to call." And we prayed, and he left and went home. It wasn't an hour had not passed, and he called me. He said, "Brother Maceo," he said, "my brother just called. He's in Phoenix, Arizona. Been gone 4 days. Do you know, if you are an heir of salvation, that you can misplace stuff around your house? And you can talk to those angels and say, 'Now, angels, y'all know where it is. Now, lead me to it, or have somebody else here in the house to find it and bring it to me.'" Nothing hidden won't be revealed. They will do it. They will do it. What are they doing? Ministering for you. You like that? Hallelujah. What have you lost? You need something to be found. Hallelujah. Now, they don't go out and change oil in your car and put your clothes on and shine your shoes and stuff like that, you know. But they will minister for you. They will. And also over in Psalms 91, it says that they were being camped out around about you to protect you on every side. So they are also a protector for the heirs of salvation. And that's us. Praise the Lord. And what the angels are doing, they are doing God's commandments. They're doing God's commandments. Paul said this, if we sow bountifully, we shall reap bountifully. If you give voice to the word of promise by confessing it, angels are listening to what you say, and they will hearken to that voice. They will hearken to the sound you give to God's word. God's word says a man will have what he say if he believe and doubt not in his heart. If you are believing and doubting not in your heart what you are saying, then the angel's assignment is to make sure that you eventually have what you are saying. It may take a day, it may take a week, it may take a month, or it may take a few years. But rest assured that they are working on it. It says it right here. Hallelujah. You influence angels by speaking God's word after him. That's how you influence them. Doubt, fear, unbelief does not influence them. You can't find doubt, you can't find fear, you can't find unbelief in God. It's not in him. You can't find sickness in him either. It's not in him. Don't let anybody tell you God made that person sick. How is he gonna do it? It's not in him. And how can you get it out of him if it's not in him? God is love. That's what's in him. Praise the Lord. Ending up now, how do you put your confession to work for you? I want you to write some things down. The first one is begin to act on Joshua 1:8. Speak that word out of your mouth constantly. Meditate on that word until you can actually see or begin to get a profile of yourself in that word. That word will become flesh. It will become your flesh, just like it became Jesus' flesh. It has life in it. So you stay with that word. Discipline yourself to be obedient to God's word according to Romans 3, verse 3 through 4. Discipline yourself. Number 3, confess according to your situation. Confess according to your situation. Find the scriptures and put your name in it. Make it personal. Number 4, you change the facts, F-A-C-T-S, that don't agree with the word according to James 3:14. You change the facts that do not agree to God's word according to James 3:14. You're going to have to look these scriptures up. That's why I did it like this. But let me tell you what that scripture says. Lie not against the truth. Lie not against the truth. You heir of salvation, right? Your body is telling you that you're sick. Your checking account is telling you that you're broke. Lie not against the truth. Your body's telling you that you're sick. What is the truth? By stripes, I'm healed. When you say you're sick and you're an heir of salvation, you're born again, guess what you're doing? You're lying against the truth. You got a need and you keep confessing the need. He says, he'll supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, or in Christ Jesus. That's the truth. You have to make an adjustment in your thinking process. Are y'all with me? Listen at this. It might be a fact you are under oppression, but the truth is you are far from oppression and fear does not come nigh you. That's the truth. Don't lie against it. That is the truth. And we all been guilty of it. And Lord, we repent of it. And we renounce every word that we've said against your operation right now. We repent of it. We've all done it. Because we don't know all the truth yet. And what he wants us to do is begin to spend more time so we'll have more truth in us. And if you don't have truth in you, you can't get truth out of you. No deposit, no return. God sees you that way. He sees you the way his word says. God's word is true, ha, before it happens. His word is true before it happens. No, God, when it happens, I'll believe your word is true. No, it's already true before it happens. That apple seed has everything in it that it needs to produce that apple. It's already true. You just put it where it needs to go, and you'll get the apples. The word is already true before you even get the manifestation of it. It's already true. Hold on to that. Number five, make scriptures valid in your life. Make it valid. That is what God told Joshua to do in 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. This was the word of God. God said to keep speaking the word. This is the way you will put confessions to work for you. You confess it, ho, when you feel like the very opposite is true. When you feel like the very opposite is true, don't lie against the truth. Put it in your mouth and speak it, and it will change the facts. It will change the facts. Jesus defeated Satan with the word. Jesus spoke only what God said. He shook Satan's kingdom beyond repair. Satan has never gotten it together again. If you will get hold of this principle, he won't be able to get his kingdom together against you either. He won't be able to do it. Same way Jesus defeated him. He defeated him with the word. I want you to do a confession with me now, and then we're going to end it. Hallelujah. I want you to stand to your feet. The name of it is to be God inside-minded. That's what it's going to take. To be God inside-minded. Repeat after me. I am a spirit. I have a soul. And I live in a physical body. My spirit is the candle of the Lord. God, my Father, is guiding me into all the truth through my spirit. I am a child of God. Born of the Spirit of God and led by the Spirit of God. I listen to my heart as I look to my spirit inside me. The Holy Ghost gives direction to my spirit and illumination to my mind. He leads me in the way that I should go in all the affairs of life. He leads me by an inward witness. The eyes of my understanding are being enlightened. Wisdom is in my inward parts. His love is perfected in me. I have an unction from the Holy One. I am becoming spirit conscious. I listen to the voice of my spirit and obey what my spirit tells me. I let my spirit dominate me. For I walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. I examine my leadings in the light of his word. I trust in the Lord with all of my heart and lean not to my own understanding. In all my ways I acknowledge him, and he directs my paths. I walk in the light of God's word. I will educate and train and develop my human spirit. The word of God shall not depart out of my mouth. I will meditate therein day and night. Therefore, I shall make my way prosperous. And I will have good success in life. I am a doer of the word, and I put God's word first. My spirit man is in the ascendancy. Thanks be unto God, who always causes me to triumph in the anointed one and his anointing. Hallelujah. Give him a praise tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to thank you for giving Brendan and I an opportunity to come down. And the very thing that I've came down and talked on is the thing that I've had to use in my life mostly all day. But I thank God that I made a decision a few years ago that I was tired of being defeated. I was tired of not seeing the things that I was seeing in the Word begin to manifest in my life. And being around other people, and I saw these people, and I live around people, and I'm close to people, and I know that they have, their life is based on the word of God, and I see things happening in their lives. I see their children in the ministry. I see whole families walking in divine health. I see the agreement between husband and wives. I see the agreement between the kids. They aren't fighting. They aren't spitting and spatting. I see it. I see people's lives that I say, I want that. Not just the material thing. Do you know the greatest ministry that you will ever have is your relationship? I'm going to talk to husbands and wives. Do you know one of your greatest ministries will be your relationship with your, with the spouse's relationship out about people? We went to a church in St. Louis, Missouri, and went to Life Christian Center. And Pastor Rick Shelton pastors that church, a great man of God. Great man of God. I mean, full of the word. But I can remember the people that that I heard say time and time again, if I had a choice of taking one thing from Pastor Rick, it would be the way he treats his wife. It would be the way he lives, that Donna and Pastor Rick lives their life in front of us as husband and wife. And if I had one thing that I could get from Pastor Rick, it would be the way he treats his kids and the affection that he shows for his family. That's what they really want. That's what they really want. And the thing that the devil works on the hardest is to break relationships. Do you know when a husband and wife get together as a team and bring and lay it all down according to the word, that many times you just walk in circles of people and people can get delivered. They can get delivered. People are watching the way you live. And don't just think they're watching you at church. They aren't just watching you at church. They're watching you at the grocery store. You'd be surprised how many times, how many people on those checkout counters, they know you personally. You're the one always come in with a smile. And you're the one always real courteous to them. And you always real pleasant, and you just got a peace about you. One day they're going to come up and say, would you pray for me? Or are you the one that's always complaining? Every time you get in the line, been standing here too long. They're watching you. And then one day you'll come in complaining, and you got to get out and do this. And the next day you come in, they hear you say, amen. And they go, bitter and sweet water coming out of the same mouth. It ought not to be happening. Bitter and sweet shouldn't come out of the same fountain. God wants to use you. I never would have thought that when I went to that man's house, and when I walked up to his house, and he says, Maceo, when he says, well, how you doing, young man? I said, I'm blessed. And he looked at me. He said, you're blessed? I said, yes, sir. And we talked a little bit. And when I left, I said, look here. And he was talking about how much stuff they had to get done. I said, look here. It's hard by the yard, but it's a cinch by the inch. I said, just a little bit at a time, and you'll get it all done. And I said, the thing you want to do is keep a positive attitude and believe that every time you move something, there's one more thing you don't have to move. And I said, I tell you what, I'll be praying for you. That's what I said to him the first day. And God took that, and through a dresser, we was able to minister to his daughter-in-law down here in Houston. You are special in God's eyes. You are special in God's eyes. And he says in Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and approved of you. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you and approved of you to be an instrument for me. You already got his approval. Stop trying to get it. He knows everything about you. You're not impressing him. He's already impressed because he knew you before. And he still let us come in here. He still let us come in here to be born at a time that we was born, to be living in the 7th millennium, the year of rest. The year of rest. Why? Because he knew you and approved of you. Is he awesome? And he's in you. So what does that make you? You awesome. Give him praise. Father, we thank you that you approve of us. Lord, I'm reminded in Joyce Meyer's book on how to succeed at being ourselves. She said, what we need to do is know our who from our do. Many of the things that we do, he's not pleased with that, just like our children. Many things that our children do, we're not pleased with them, but we can always say, I know them and I still love them. They're still mine. And they can come on back and they say, Mom and Dad, you know I messed up and y'all forgive me for it. What they're doing is they're repenting, and you can do the same thing. You can go to him and say, Father, I repent. And you turn and go in a different direction. And he's all right. And many of you have went to him and you've confessed stuff to him and you're still holding on to it. He says if you confess your faults or your sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive you of it and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Now look here. He does it right now. And if you don't bring it up again, guess what? He's not going to bring it up. Why? He's forgot about it. It's all in the sea. My greatest desire in the body of Christ today is to see Christians live and walk free from the bondages of this world that we've been delivered out of. We've been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness and translated over into the kingdom of his dear son. That's where we are. And if you would begin to make the adjustments, put the word in your mouth and do the things that the Holy Ghost has spoken through me here in these last 2 days, you will be totally amazed how fast your life will change. And then God will start having you to do things that you don't even know that you're doing, and he'll begin to bring people to you, and you'll be able to minister to them and get them set free. Y'all believe that? I love you, Nations Church. Thank y'all for coming tonight, and God bless you. Pastor Rod, hallelujah.